The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 7 through 20. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us that we may eat it." They asked him, "Where do you want us to make preparations for it?" "Listen," he said to them, "when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, already furnished. Make preparations for us there." So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. In that 14th verse of the 22nd chapter, we find these words. When the hour had come, Jesus took his place at the table with the apostles. He said to them, "I have wanted so much to eat the Passover meal with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will never eat it until it is given its full meaning in the kingdom of God." What makes this night different from other nights? This night is significant in that Jesus desires it and has purpose for it. The King James Version says, "earnestly desires to eat this Passover before I suffer." The significance of his desire is to observe the ritual and tradition of his faith and culture. And his purpose was to acknowledge with obedience his appointed destiny to suffer and to die for the hope of a dark and decaying world. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takest away the sins of the world." Isaac Watts said, "See, from his head, his hand, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Tonight, we are going to observe the Lord's Supper. We do so following the instructions of Jesus in the same manner as he observed his last Passover with his disciples. For this is a very, very special time for Jesus and his disciples. The traditional Passover question, what makes this night different from other nights, is truly appropriate for Jesus and the disciples. If we read Luke 22:14 carefully, we get the impression that the supper is more significant to Jesus than we can grasp or even imagine. Why so? Well, consider the sequence of events that Jesus has already experienced, recorded by Luke in the 9th chapter. The first of these is the transfiguration. Jesus took Peter and James and John up to the mountain to pray. And while there, they were there, had a supernatural experience. We find a curious description that Moses and Elijah were there with Jesus, and they were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. The three did not know what was going on. Dumbfounded, they said, "Let us make three tents for you." Not knowing what they were saying, sometime later, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears, for the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men." But just as it was on the mountain, they did not understand what he was talking about. It is very soon after this that Luke says of Jesus, "And it came about when the days were approaching for his ascension, that he resolutely set his face toward Jerusalem." It is clear here that Jesus, to a large extent, understood his destiny. He was committed to his Father's will, and he knew what it entailed. But the disciples did not understand. Indeed, they were yet unable to comprehend what Jesus was about. There are similar events sometime later in the life and ministry of Jesus in which he takes the 12 aside and speaks to them about the suffering that awaits him in Jerusalem, according to what the prophets have said. But Luke tells us again, they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them, as it were, and they did not comprehend the things that were said. Now, with things in mind, we can hear differently Jesus' words when he says, "I have wanted so much to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer." He says it with emphasis. "I have desired, with great desire, to eat this Passover with you." Why is this night different from other nights? It is now the appropriate time, the appropriate season, for Jesus to explain the meaning of his life to the disciples. This is the teachable moment. The culmination of events has led up to this occasion in which the most important observance in the Jewish calendar, as it were, coincided with the most significant events in the life of Jesus. Jesus fully recognizes the import of the situation and intends to bring the disciples into contact with the fullness of its meaning. The Passover was the most important holiday or events in Jewish life. It was a prominent family tradition, a ceremony of great weight and with much symbolic meaning. At the end of the meal, one of the children, usually youngest son, would ask, "What makes this night different from other nights?" As we approach the Easter week, we might ask, "What makes this holiday different from other holidays? What makes us as Christians different from non-Christians? What makes this way of life different from other ways of living?" The answer to the Passover question will be told by the host recounting how they came out of Egypt land, how they crossed the Red Sea on dry land, and how Pharaoh's army got drowned. Here with the disciples, Jesus does the same thing. But he speaks not of the Exodus, but of the giving of his own life and what it means in God's plan of salvation for each of us. Oh, God's got a plan, I tell you, for us all. He is establishing his kingdom right now. And he's coming back looking for a church without a spot or wrinkle, looking for you, looking for me, second chance people, the redeemed of the Lord. In the Exodus, the deliverance out of Egypt, God was keeping his promises, fulfilling his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the promise to give them a home and make them a great people. Tonight, Jesus says, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." He is revealing to them and to us a new basis for their hope, a new walk and a new talk, a new guiding promise in their life and even in yours. The host would tell them of the deliverance from slavery in Egypt and how they were not their own people. This was the glory of the Passover experience. It was deliverance. This was their birth, and no doubt remembered it with a depth of emotion similar to the experience of our African-American sojourn in this country, as we remember our own bondage in slavery and the pivotal events of the civil rights struggle and the continuing setbacks and disappointments of African American life as we know it today. They would speak of the blood of the Passover lamb, which was placed on the doorposts of the house of the Israelite families so that the plague of death would pass over their home. In parallel fashion, speaking of the blood of the Lamb, Jesus speaks to the giving of himself as a sacrificial lamb. Through Jesus' death, we are able to be delivered from sin, just as the people were delivered from slavery, torture, and death in that day. Then the host would explain the meaning of the elements. The unleavened bread signifies their readiness for travel. The bitter herbs reminded them of the bitterness of slavery. Then Jesus, as host, explained that the elements of the new Passover indicate the giving of himself. The language is striking here. He says, "This is my body, which is broken for you, is given to you. This blood, which for you is poured out." The last thing the host would do is remind them to continue observing this Passover each year. Jesus comes and does the same thing, urging the disciples and us to continue to observe the supper. And as often, he says, as you do this in remembrance of me. What makes this night different from other nights? This is the time Jesus had waited for the right moment, the fullness of the season, the moment of truth. Here, the events were lending to a climax. Now, he is able to help them understand who he is and what he is called to do. God's Son, the Messiah. Did they understand? And do we understand? Is the event a failure? Do they and we still not get it? Was Jesus unable to get the disciples to understand the deeper meaning of his mission, the purpose of his glory, his suffering, and his death? By no means. For the purpose and the glory in the cross lie down in knowing ahead of time that it is going to happen, and even knowing ahead of time what is going to mean. When we don't understand why he had to die and for what purpose he came to die, or ever why we have to suffer sometimes ourselves, that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. The mystery of faith is to celebrate the already in the midst of the not yet. Be of good courage, for it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what the Lord has in store for those who believe. Not to understand sometimes is a mystery. As Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not sleep, but shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." And that mystery is even more profound when Paul says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." The grace to suffer, my friends, or to live in the midst of suffering and the hope by which it is overcome, lies not in knowing ahead of time that there will be suffering, or even in knowing that Jesus suffers. The glory of this event is that there will be a supper in the kingdom, that there is a purpose and a promised redemption, that there is a forthcoming marriage supper of the Lamb, which is called at the Lamb's high feast. Jesus' words assure us that he will eat like the supper with them again in the kingdom. He will drink from the fruit of the vine when God brings the kingdom to fulfillment. It is true that the disciples do not yet understand, but there soon comes a time when they do understand. They learn that there is hope on the other side of the cross, which does not pass by the cross, but takes it up and rests upon it. What makes this night different from other nights for you? Perhaps the Lord has done something for you, brought you from a mighty long ways, rescued you from your bondage and prisons of habits and dependencies, put food on your table so you could feed your family. There are so many good things he has done. And to come tonight is your way of saying, thank you, Lord. By remembering him tonight, you also remember when you were down in sin's dark valley, with no God on your side, and somebody prayed for you. Perhaps you've been sick, and he was a doctor in a sick room, in trouble, and he brought you through. I hear the choir singing, when waves of affliction sweep o'er the soul and sunlight is hidden from view. If ever you are tempted to fret or complain, just think of his goodness to you. Tonight, my friends, is that kind of night. Just think of his goodness to you. Those storms or you sweep, he is able, I tell you, to keep. Just think of his goodness to you. What is the meaning of this night? It is a night that will nurture us spiritually. It will make me whole again. It will strengthen my faith. It will rectify my character. It will brighten my sky. It will fortify my mind. It will beautify my life. It will sanctify my soul, and it will anchor my hope. What makes this night different than other nights for us? It explains to us that he looked beyond our faults and saw our needs. It means that our compassionate Lord loved and cared enough for us to give us hope and a redemptive salvation that we did not deserve. What is the meaning of this night? It means to have loving obedience toward Jesus, who commanded us to do this in remembrance of him. It means to sing his praises with a bold spirit, to shout with unrestrained thanksgiving, and to love Jesus with unfailing trust. What is the meaning of this night? When I think about what the Lord has done for me and how he has planted me in the bosom of a loving family, surrounds me in the company of believing saints who exercise unfaltering trust in Christ Jesus, how he raised me from my sick bed. I know the promise never to leave me nor forsake me. I know he promised to guide me with his eye. I know he promised to be with me in the seventh trouble. I know he promised to be a friend to the friendless. I know he promised to go with me to the end. So this night has meaning for many thousands who have met the Lord. But most importantly, it has meaning, desire, and purpose for the suffering Christ. O sacred head, now wounded with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded with thorns thine only crown, how pale thou art with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn. How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn? This night is different from any other night, for on the night as no other night, our Lord, as the suffering Christ smells the stench of death, begins to sense the pangs of pain, is betrayed by one in the inner circle, unfold his mission for his kingdom, and gives the ordinance for the believers to remember his very act of grace and mercy. For truly, it was his grace and mercy that have brought us through to this night. When we observe the supper, we must recognize that there will come times when we will ask why. And this why is not eliminated because we know ahead of time that there may be a cross. Rather, when we must walk up that hill, we look for the hope and the glory of promised redemption. We are assured and upheld by our hope in the one who walks before us and who walks with us. And amen.